I'm very happy to be with you here today. And if you're happy to be with me, I want to hear a noise. Let me hear a noise. A little louder. And I want to really thank you guys for coming here today, because you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. And we thank you for that. So the message I want to give today is something that I feel that God has been laying down over my heart for a series of months. And I feel like through experiences that I've had and through like his word that he's revealed to me, I feel like this has been laid down over my heart for months. And this is a message of action. So if I finish this message and all you have is a good feeling and don't go out and do and apply the things that I'm saying, then I failed. And I got in the way of what God was trying to say through me. So before I go any further, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come up and speak for you. I pray that it's your words and not mine, and that you would work through me and show the message that you want to send. In your holy and precious name I pray, amen. So to lead into this message, I'm going to tell a story. This is a true story. It was something that happened to me a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, my friend asked me to attend an event with her that was celebrating the life of her friend Rue. And I didn't really want to go to this event because, like, I had other stuff that I'd rather be doing. But she asked me, so I decided to go with her. And at this event, I learned so much about this guy named Rue. I learned that he was 21 years old. He grew up in Broward County. He went to Nova Middle School, and he went to Ely High School, and he went to UCF. So it's not like when you hear like about the lives of like great people, and they're like somewhere far away, like Cambodia or something. But this person grew up like in our backyard. And I thought this event was gonna last like 2 hours, but it really lasted somewhere like five. And there was like hundreds of people in attendance, all hearing about the life of this guy named Rue. And the time was taken up by his friends and family and people that knew him, just telling stories about how much he loved Jesus, how much he inspired people and mentored kids and impacted the lives of those around him, and excelled in his schoolwork. Like, this dude was like all over the place, impacting lives everywhere. He served in Progressive Black Men Incorporated, which is a group that tries to better their community by service. He also was the president of his fraternity, Omega Psi Phi. I hope I didn't butcher that. And a girl even came up on stage to tell the story of, though he had only met her one time, he changed her whole life with one interaction. She was crying on the steps of her school in high school, and he went down and he went to go sit and talk with her, even though he didn't know her, and had a conversation with her that changed the whole direction of her life. And I left this event like super excited, like, man, I can't wait to meet this guy, and I can't wait to learn more about him and learn more from him. But I also left saddened, because I won't get that opportunity until I die and reach the other side of eternity. You see, Ruel Buchanan, 21 years old, on April 18th, he was hit by a car and he died. And hearing about his life, though I had never met him before, stirred up something within me. And it stirred up something within inside my heart, and it was making me ask myself these questions. And today I want to ask you those same questions. What is your legacy? When you die, what will you be remembered for? When people are at your funeral, what are they going to say about you? And even more tugging, what do people say about you right now? When you're not in the room, what do people think about you? And Rue lived his life, I'm going to call Ruel Rue, lived his life by the motto, aspire to inspire before you expire. And I'm going to say that a couple more times, because I need it to sink in today, because this is what we're going to go through. And his dream was to aspire to inspire before you expire. So and you can see in his life, he aspired to inspire before he expired. So I want to break that down word by word, aspire, inspire, and expire before we leave today. So I'm going to start with aspire. What does it mean to aspire? like your aspiration. What does that mean? To aspire, the dictionary definition of the word aspire is to direct one's hopes and ambitions towards achieving something. To direct one's hopes and ambitions towards achieving something. And so I want to ask you today, what are your hopes and ambitions in? What do you live your life for? What are your dreams in? Because every time I log on to social media or talk to people, they tell me about what they would achieve and what their hope and their ambitions are that will make them happy. And it's tied up into the American dream. It's like, well, if I just achieve and I get a wife and I get a kid and I get, you know, 2.5 kids, a white picket fence and a nice house and a nice car, and if I get all these things, then I'll be happy. It's like, yo, if I just had that house, I'd be good. If I just got that girl or that boy, then I'd be good. I'd be set. I'd be comfortable and I could relax. And I just want to achieve that. And many of us sometimes sound like a Kanye song when we're just like, wait till I get my money right. And we're like, when I get that money right, and when I get that job and that promotion, then I'll be satisfied. And for me, my measure, it's kind of funny, my measure of success used to be this. I used to think that if when I grow older, I have to worry about how much paper towel I'm using, then I haven't made enough money. If I have to worry about conserving paper towel, then I need to be more successful and achieve more. And as funny as that is, when we keep striving for more and more stuff, the chase to be comfortable. And we need this and we need that. And if I finally achieve this, then I'll be happy. And all those aspirations are great, but they will only gratify but never satisfy. Everything in the world, every other treasure in the world, if you get it and you finally stack it all up, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to satisfy. So what if we aspired for more? What if we aspire for something bigger than ourselves, something that couldn't be taken away, and something that would last forever? And our treasure was in something that would last forever. And I want to tell you that until you place your aspirations on Jesus, the creator of all things and all the treasure in the world would never stack up. Until you focus your eyes on Jesus, nothing else will ever be enough. In Matthew 6, 19 through 20, it says, don't store up your treasures on earth, where moths eat and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. You see, when your treasure is here on earth, that can be taken away from you. You can get fired from your job. Your wife can leave you. Your husband can leave you. They can cheat on you. These are things that can happen. Your money can go away. And I think from a secular source, and they illustrate this well, Chance the Rapper said in one of his songs, the richest man wears the snatchless necklace. It's like, what does that mean? The man who is truly rich has his worth in something that cannot be taken away from him. You see, this chain, if my life and my dreams and my hopes and ambitions were something material as this chain, it can be ripped away from me. But if my treasure was in something that was lasting, and my treasure was in something that will never go away, and my treasure is in heaven with Jesus, then it will last forever and can never be taken away from me. So the man who is truly rich, and the man who truly has achieved what he needs to achieve, has a treasure that can never be ripped away. And the richest man wears the snatchless necklace. And when our aspirations are in Jesus, he has promised us that he will give us everything else that we ever need. That when our hopes and dreams are placed in the hands of Jesus, he will give us everything else that we ever need. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God. It's not on the slide. You have to worry about it. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. everything else that you need. And I need you to know that until we live our lives, when we live our lives solely for our comfort and for ourselves, not only will we not find that comfort in this life, but we won't find it in the next life either. So what if we lived our lives in a way that inspired people to do better? And instead of focusing on ourselves, what if we lived for more? And I want to tell you something, that if Jesus is your aspiration, then you will be an inspiration. That if your hopes and dreams and everything is in Jesus, you will have no other choice but to inspire everyone else around you, to impact the lives of everyone else around you. But then you wonder, like Christians, I don't know about them. They're not really inspiring anything. You look at the outside, it's like Christians are doing a really bad job of this inspiration thing. And we see how the world views Christianity. We don't see people inspired, but we see people that are apathetic to the church, and those that aren't apathetic despise us. A poll was done about Christianity where thousands of people were sampled, and The results don't look too good. 91% of people said that they believe Christians were anti-homosexuals. 87% of people said they were over-judgmental. 85% said hypocritical. And 70% said they were insensitive to others. And that doesn't seem very inspiring to me. And it's actually awful, and there's a pretty simple reason to explain why this is the case, to explain why this is happening. Many times, Christians fail to inspire because they do not truly aspire to be like Jesus. And I believe the church today, and I'm not picking on PCC in general, but the global church, the church of the United States, fails to inspire because a lot of the time, we're full of bare minimum Christians and not disciples. We're people that say, oh, I really love Jesus, and Jesus is great. Thank you, Jesus, but don't do what he says. And don't apply the words that he says to our life. And we're full of spectators that come to a building a lot of times once a week to hear nice live music and a church TED Talk. And not full of people that actually want to get off the bleachers and into the field to serve people. And I think many people take the lowercase c Christians, take the call to Jesus as seriously as they take the call to follow somebody on Twitter. It's like, yeah, this person has a nice message. They say good stuff sometimes, and I kind of like them, but if they ask me to donate $100 to their fundraiser, I won't do that. If they ask me to come out to do that, I won't do that. I like their posts sometimes. But a lot of times people take the call to follow Jesus that seriously. And in John 14:15, he says, "If you love me," and you know you hear that line when you have your boyfriend and girlfriend before they ask you to do something that you don't want to do. It says, "If you love me, then obey my commandments." If you really love me, then you'll obey my commandments. What were his most important commandments? To love God and to love people. And he didn't just say that flippantly, but he really stresses the point. In John 13:33-35, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." And he stresses this point even more in other chapters. There was one time where he's having a conversation with Peter, his disciple, and he asked Peter three separate times, "Do you love me?" And Peter's like, "Yeah, I love you." Then he goes, "Then feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yeah, I love you. But if you do love me, then feed my lambs." And this went on three times because Jesus really meant it. And I need to let you know today that we cannot inspire and fully impact people around us unless we actually do this and care for people in need. And many times, like, and I'll see it even here, that a lot of times, like, we ask someone how their week was, and then they actually start telling you how their week was, and they're going on, and I'm like, yo, can you hurry up? The donut's outside. I want to get a donut before they're all gone. And then we find ourselves pretending to care, but not actually caring. They're saying, oh, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Then go out and never think about them again. But what would it look like if we not only said we were going to pray for someone, but actually took them aside, did it, and then followed up with them later and cared for them later and loved on them later? What would it look like if we were a people that when the car in front of us is actually driving the speed limit and we want to rip their head off, what if we were patient? What if when a situation at work was awful and the boss is getting on your nerves, but you were joyful regardless? How much more would you inspire and impact people if you took God's call seriously? And I have an example of this. My cousin and brother in the faith, Drew Butler, he doesn't know I'm calling him out, but he inspires me every day to do better. And Lisa told me a story about him where he, because he goes to college at UCF, and he was just chilling, and an old acquaintance from high school hit him up and said, she said, oh, I was in Orlando visiting some friends, but we had a falling out, and I have nowhere to stay. Can I stay with you and your roommate? And he said, what he could have said was, no, I'm busy, I have homework. He could say, no, I just don't think so. But he said, yes, you can stay with me, but only under the condition that you go to church with me on Sunday. She came and she came to stay at their house, and he had conversations with her asking her if she knew Jesus or ever went to church. And she said, maybe once when I was 12 or something, but no, not really. And that next day when they took her to church, she ended up meeting Jesus, and her life was changed. And her life was changed. What would it look like if we did that? We saw someone hurting, and we say, can I pray for you? And right there, go and pray for them. And we saw our brother or sister that needed money, and we say, even though I'm a little short, I'll lend you the money. What would it look like? And like we're like, that's kind of uncomfortable. I don't really want to do that. That's not fun. It's not fun. It's an inconvenience. That's too risky. What if I invite her into my house and she steals my, that's too risky. But you know what was risky? And you know what was uncomfortable and was inconvenient? When Jesus came out of heaven, when he was in the most perfect place that has no flaws, and he was up there, and he saw us that needed him and were hurt, and he saw this world in chaos, and he said, that's uncomfortable and that's inconvenient, but I'm going to come into this mess. And I'm going to love you even though you're a mess. And even though you have all this stuff going on. And it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes. And it's going to be inconvenient sometimes. But Jesus calls us out to be uncomfortable. And in 2 Corinthians, it says that if we comfort others, he will comfort us. And when are we going to be a people that our words match our actions? In Luke 6:46, it says, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? And people be like, I love Jesus. Jesus is great. I love Jesus. I'm going to get my clap on. And then you see it in their bio. They see it in their bios that Jesus, and they have a little cross, and they have a nice little sprinkle of Jesus post on Twitter and on Instagram. But their life doesn't reflect that. And so many people think we're hypocrites. 85% of the people outside of the church think we're hypocrites because we say stuff like we're pro-life, but when the baby gets out the womb, we don't have the same zeal for that life. Like we care when the baby's in the womb, but once they get out the womb, we don't really care so much anymore. And we say we care about kids' lives, but when people are taking guns into their schools and shooting them down, we're not doing, our votes don't match or we say we care for the kids' lives? When are we going to be a people that our actions match our words? And step out from being hypocritical and actually take Jesus up on his call to do stuff, to do things and be kind to people and be joyful and be peaceful and love on people. And I'm telling you that if you are actually following Jesus, you will be an inspiration. When you're faking, we know. When you're faking, we know, because Jesus said that from how you love, you will be able to tell that you are my disciples. Your fruit will tell me that who are my disciples. When are we actually going to love people the way that he loved us? Because you will be an inspiration if he is your aspiration. So when are we going to aspire for Jesus? And I think the most beautiful thing about Jesus, and the reason I think this faith stands out from other faiths, is that he did what he was telling us to do. He loved people the way he was telling us to love people, and cared for people the way he's telling us to care for people. There's this song by a group named Beautiful Eulogy, and a pastor, Art Azurdia, spoke on their song. And I'm just going to read some of the lyrics of the song because they illustrate what I'm trying to say in a way that's way more artful and is way more colorful than I could even put words together for. And it goes, because Jesus healed the sick, because Jesus fed the multitudes, because Jesus gave legs to the crippled, because Jesus granted sight to the blind, because Jesus opened up the ears of the deaf, because Jesus found prostitutes and tax collectors and drew them into the sphere of his love. Because Jesus touched the untouchable and loved the unlovable and forgave the unforgivable and welcomed the undesirable. Because Jesus even now saves the otherwise unsavable. He doesn't just feel for us. He takes the necessary action to relieve our distress. Even now, he saves the otherwise unsavable. The same love that Jesus wants to give you, and the same life he wants to give you. And he says, if I am your aspiration, then you will not only be an inspiration, but your heart will be changed. That love that you'll be giving out, it won't be so much of a chore because he'll be working it through you. The same love that he's giving you will be poured out onto people that need it. And what if we were a people, what would the world look like if we were people that didn't just feel, like, I feel you, dog. Like, I see you going through that, man. I feel you. But we took the necessary actions to relieve others' distress. And I think Jesus was the most perfect example of this because in 3 years of ministry, he was the most impactful, inspiring person who ever lived. And we have that same DNA inside of us. When you take that life of Jesus, you have that same DNA inside of you. Change the world. And I want you to know that we won't truly feel satisfied or fulfilled or see ourselves inspire and impact others until we make Jesus that aspiration. The praise team can come up. A short message. But I went through aspire and inspire. I talked about aspire and inspire, and now I'm going to talk about expire. I never knew Ruel, but he was a reminder to me that we don't have much time. My 21st birthday is on Wednesday. He was 21, and he died. And I hear so many people talk about, yo, when I get older, I'll deal with all that. All that Jesus stuff, all that what happens when I die stuff. When I get older, I'll worry about that. I don't have time for that right now. Just wait till I get my house. Wait till I finish school. When I finish school, I'll worry about that. When I get this job, I'll worry about that. I'll take some time to spend time with my kids after I get through this thing. And we're like that Kanye song, wait till I get my money right. And when I get my money right, then I'll worry about it. But at the end of your life, if all you did was get that promotion, if all you did was get that next job, if all you did was have a wife, a kid, your white picket fence, your big house, and your fancy cars, then I need to let you know that you wasted your life. Because at the end of it, when it's all done, you can't take any of that with you. And none of that is promised. And no, you can't take any of that with you, and unless your treasure is in heaven, then you're wasting your life. And if you would die tomorrow, or if you will die when you take a step out of this building, how will you have left your mark? How did you touch the others around you? When we get to your funeral, what are we going to say about you? Did you touch lives? Did you really know Jesus, or were you just a poser? And we could tell the difference. In 1 Peter 1:24 through 25, it says, "All people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And I believe there are so many people that are going to go on to live lives without ever putting their aspirations into something real. Into something lasting. Into something that will never run dry. And we're going to die. We're going to die one day. But when the curtains close and you meet your maker, what is he going to say to you? "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Or, "Depart from me, I never even knew you." What is he going to say to us? And I want to, and you know what? I want to see, and I believe I will see, a generation of a bunch of Ruel Buchanans, people that take up Jesus' call seriously and realize that he loved us so much that we would take the call to aspire to him. That we'd be walking so close to Jesus and following so close in his line that the dust from his sandals will be kicked back up on us. And I believe that we will see a generation of believers that take up Jesus' honest call to love and inspire others. In a few moments, I'm going to make a call out to the audience. And I've always been afraid to do this. Like, what if I do the hands up thing and no one raises their hands? Like, it'd be an awkward moment. But today I'm not gonna live in fear. And I know that God is tugging on people's heartstrings. That I don't want to keep living this way anymore. That if you have never decided to aspire to Jesus, and you're exhausted because you keep living in this way, that if I just want to achieve this, and I just want to achieve that, and when I finally get this, I'll be happy. But you know subconsciously that you have a hole so big in your heart that stuff will never fill it up. Today is the day. Right now is the moment that you call to Jesus and make him your aspiration. And put your hopes and dreams in something that's not snatchless, that can't ever be taken away from you, of love that stays with you no matter what you do. Today is that day. Or if you've been living your life as a bare minimum lowercase C Christian, that you just come to this building every once or twice a month to watch live music and TED Talks, but you haven't been serving, you haven't actually made him your aspiration, you haven't actually been following him, today is that day. That we're not gonna push it aside anymore and say, "Well, I have time, I'll do it later." But today is the day, because we don't know your expiration date. And I believe today is a day that we are really going to be like Jesus and let our legacy be that of world changers. Because I know that every single person in here was meant for so much more. Was meant for so much more than a bland and uninspiring life, but to impact and influence and inspire this generation. That when we die, it won't be like we're trying to find enough stuff to fit into a 1 hour funeral, but it'll be enough stuff that we're trying to contain it to a 5 hour one. That we had such a mark on other people's lives around us that it changes everything. I believe you are meant for so much more. And I want to have everyone close your eyes and put your heads down. And today, if you want to step out and say, I'm tired of that old life, and I want to walk into a life where I'm aspiring to be an inspiration because I don't know my expiration. I want you to close your eyes and look down, and if you want today to be that day that you make a switch, put your hands in the air. Amen, I see that hand. And I pray that today there's going to be some people up here that you can talk to that will have our legacy be that of world changers. That we know that we can't do this walk alone and all that stuff is really hard and uncomfortable, but Jesus said he loved us so much that he's going to put that love in our hearts to change the world and to change the lives of other people around us. I pray that you come up and talk to somebody and get some prayer today. Oh, Jesus, thank you for everything. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And thank you for the life of Ruel Buchanan and his family. And I pray that we would all aspire to inspire before we expire. Put our aspirations in you, Jesus. And let our inspiration come from you, Jesus. Because the grass withers and the flowers fall, but your word stays forever. What we have in you can never be snatched away like a necklace. We thank you for that. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.